John Faso, thank you, first of all, for appearing with us and for being here. We had Antonio Delgado on, and now this is your turn. So let me ask you this. The Albany Times Union endorsed Delgado, and 2 years after backing you over your opponent, Zephyr Teachout, the editorial says it is hoped you would be a moderating voice in the House, but sadly, quote, whatever common sense Faso may have brought to this party was of no avail, and some of Mr. Faso's own actions have been disappointing. What's your response?
The New York Times Albany Times Union editorial board is, if you read their editorials, which I do,
did endorse you last time.
They did, but they are very left of center. And
so left that they endorsed you?
Well, actually, 2 years ago, Donald Trump wasn't president. And I think actually this is part of their reaction to Donald Trump being elected president. Mm-hmm. The fact is that if you look at my ranking, I rank 18th out of 435 for being bipartisan. I have consciously worked with people on the other side in sponsoring legislation, in voting for bills and amendments with my colleagues on the other side, because I do think that the polarization we have in our society today is very troubling to me. And I think it's important for us, whether it's dealing with issues like immigration or whether it's issues such as how do we fix the financing of Social Security, we have to work on a bipartisan fashion. How do we fix the messes that were created by the Affordable Care Act and the Republican failure to fix those? So I'm part of the bipartisan problem solvers group in the House, 25 Democrats, 25 Republicans, and we've set forth a series of proposals that could fix the obvious failings of the Affordable Care Act, the primary one being that people may have insurance, but they have $8,000 deductibles. They can't afford to use the insurance. It's too expensive. And so we have set forth proposals that would address this, that would lower premiums and deductibles, that would make the ACA more compatible for small business employers, et cetera. That's where we need to go. We need to work in a bipartisan solution
to
address these things.
John, I'm sorry for interrupting, but when the vote comes to the floor and they need your vote and they can't afford to let you off the hook, will you be with the Republicans no matter what they have incorporated in the revised bill?
Alan, I've shown my independence. I have voted my conscience on these issues. And so when, for instance, there was a Republican amendment this past year to the defense bill that would have kicked out transgender people out of the military, I voted against that, as did about 40 of my Republican colleagues. When there was a Republican that offered an amendment also to say that the Defense Department should not consider the effects of climate change upon our military bases and operations, both here in the U.S. and around the world, I voted against that. And we defeated that amendment. So the fact is, I look at issues individually. Am I a Republican? Am I proud to be a Republican? Absolutely. Do I believe in limited government? And do I believe in the role of the private sector? Yes. Those are the things that make me a Republican. But I look at these issues as they come, and I try to make my best judgment accordingly for what is the best in the best interest of our district and our nation.
Now, John Faso, there are many people who think that while you may be a nice guy and that they like you, I'm certainly one of those, that the important thing here is to flip the House. And that what it means is that somebody's got to hold Donald Trump responsible for some of the things that many of us consider to be really outrageous. And that you, unfortunately, may be somebody who, because in the end, you're going to hold up your hand for the Republican speaker, whoever that is, and that this is the end of my little thing here, that the Republicans haven't been particularly good about holding Trump responsible.
Well, we have passed major opioid legislation. Bipartisan. We passed major fixes to the Veterans Administration. Bipartisan. We've passed pending major changes in the farm legislation to help our dairy farmers. We've got tariff changes that will eliminate discriminatory tariffs that the Canadians have put against New York dairy farmers. So there's a lot of things that have happened. And that have been adopted. We did a $3 billion increase in funding for the NIH to fund research into diseases like Alzheimer's and ALS and diabetes. That was unprecedented. So a lot of good things have happened. We have more people working today than ever before. We have more job openings in the country than we have unemployed people. So I recognize that many people, like Donald Trump is an unconventional, controversial guy who says things that I wish he wouldn't say. And I often do not like the tone. But this notion that putting Nancy Pelosi back in as Speaker of the House, who famously said about the Affordable Care Act, they had to pass it in order to find out what was in it. Well, what we did find out, much of what was in it, really hurt people. In fact, you remember in 2013, the Washington Post said the political lie of the year was the promise of the Affordable Care Act that if you liked your health plan, you could keep it. If you liked your doctor, you could keep it. That was the lie of the year. So I don't think installing Nancy Pelosi because you don't like Donald Trump is a solution.
But do you think now, getting rid of, John, do you think getting rid of the Affordable Care Act, which so many Americans now depend on and which now turns out to be pretty popular, is the answer to dealing with any of that?
Fixing the Affordable Care Act is what I've said. In fact, in 2016, I said we should keep what works and fix what doesn't. $8,000 deductibles is not a good solution for most families. And I still believe that we can, in a bipartisan way, do fixes for the ACA that will make it more flexible and more compatible with what the needs are for employers and for individuals who might be in the individual market. But also, we need to do things to fix our immigration system. And I've voted that way, and I'll continue to vote that way if I'm sent back to Congress.
Let me ask you very quickly. You favor work requirements for SNAP recipients in the Farm Bill. How come?
Work requirements are already there. I favor enhancing those work requirements for people who are able-bodied between 18 and 59. If they are able-bodied and do not have little children at home, this is a rational, reasonable thing to do, especially when we have more job openings than we have unemployed people. Every employer tells me they have jobs. They can't find qualified people to fill the jobs. And so we need to get more people working. That is the best thing for a family, and it's the best thing to reduce dependency. And you know, the other thing is that what is left unsaid is that many states, California and Illinois in particular, have completely waived their states out of any work rules whatsoever for SNAP. And that's wrong. New York actually has work rules, and I'd like to enhance them, get more people into training, and we're not saving any money by this either. We are taking any savings from the reduction of people on SNAP because of an improved economy. Any savings we're getting from that, we're plowing into training programs, and that's what we should be doing.
John Faso, as always, we want to thank you for showing up. You've been on this program many times, and we appreciate your being here, really.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for doing it. When we come back, I have lots of other questions.